The reading today is from Acts 2, verses 36 to 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And the believers were gathered and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, should we just pray together? Lord, thank you for this lovely sunny day and that we can all gather together. Thank you for your word given through us in the Bible. Lord, we just pray for Matt as he comes up to speak to us today, that he be filled with the Spirit. And pray for each of us here that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear what you want to say to us this morning through Matt. Amen.
Good morning, guys. I don't know if you have ever hear these words on a Sunday morning. With six of us in the house, sometimes we hear the words, oh, I don't want to go to church today, or can we do something else, or can we just have a break, or do something else? And then the five of them then say, Dad, you've got to go, okay? Come on, Dad. Get a grip, Dad. You've got to go, okay? But when I go into schools and with children, or secondary schools when I used to, a bit more in Swansea, and I sometimes do, or ask me any question as a Christian or as a pastor or someone who believes the Bible, ask me any questions you want. And a common question was, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? So often people would say, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? Or this week, as I was walking through the cafe, I heard someone who I know was a Christian sharing the gospel with someone who wasn't a Christian. And as I was walking past, I heard the non-Christian say, I don't need to come to church because Jesus said, come to me. I just kind of left at that point. Or you'll meet people today and they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian. And you'll say, oh, brilliant, oh, great. So what church are you part of? And they say, oh, no, I don't go to church, but I am a Christian. Something that I find helpful when I speak to children or when they ask me, do I have to be a Christian to go to church? I say to them, going to church does not make you a Christian, but every Christian should be part of a church. So going to church, a lot of people think it's about going and just doing the physical thing. So going to church does not make you a Christian, but every Christian should be part of a church. And for me, I went to church for 18 years of my life with my parents, out of respect to them, sometimes three times on a Sunday, in the week as well. So my attendance, if I was going to get a certificate at the end of the year, I would have had a gold star for attendance of going to church, going to services, even being around other Christians. But I didn't become a Christian until I was 18. And so I didn't become born again. This didn't become real for me. I didn't repent of my sin or ask Jesus to save me till I was 18. And then when I was 18 then, God did a work on my heart and didn't just give me a love for him or people who didn't know him, but a love for his church. And so I stopped going to church. I met Jesus and then became part of a church, but also part of a local church, with meeting on Sundays during the week over houses, and this became my life and sharing faith. And last week we looked at the Concern Himself series, and Alan is going to finish that off next week in the book of Revelation. So if you haven't heard any, or you want to catch up on a certain one, then we're on the YouTube channel. But we looked last week at Jesus ascended into heaven and then said to his people, I am going to give you the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, who will be with you, my church and my body. And in the video that we just saw with the Lego video, it is for the kids, but as adults, we do get caught up a bit with it, don't we? And so, actually, if you Google that, there is a charity that is looking to do Lego Bible for the whole Bible. And so you can, I think it's Chatterbox or something like that. So have a look on YouTube. But yeah, so really good for the kids or adults. And so this looked at Acts 2 and what happened. And the Bible reading that Ava just read as well about how the early church then react to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on them and then there's a reaction to that. And most of the early church were Jewish. When the Holy Spirit came, this was in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. And so because Jesus confirmed and fulfilled the Old Testament, which is what we've been looking at, the holy book called the Tanakh, we would say it's the Old Testament, but we have the New Testament. So because Jesus fulfilled that, and because Jesus came and was raised as a Jewish man, and because it is the same God, the same promises, the same Messiah, the same future, these Messianic Jews, which means Jews now who believe in the Messiah, that the Messiah has come, they didn't just start a new religion. They didn't think, all right, then Jesus has come now, let's get rid of all this stuff and then just start something new. Let's start our own holy book or kind of like, yeah, our own version of God. And we're like, no, that everything from the Tanakh, where we have the Old Testament, is still massively important for them, is still valid for them. And if anything, it's got greater because this has now been fulfilled in Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit came on these 120 people in a physical sense. So that it reads, well, it looked like tongues of fire physically came on these people. And it caused an outward reaction in them speaking in tongues, so languages, so many different languages. So in that moment, I don't know about you, but in that moment, I think they would have felt great. You know, like in that moment, like if you could be in any moments of the Bible, that would be one of my top ones to be there, just to be in the room and to just experience that, to kind of see what that looks like, but also just to feel that. And I can remember when I spoke in tongues for the first time, when I was about, I think I was probably around 20 years old, I was in a service like this during worship, and we were just singing, and all of a sudden this different language started coming out my mouth, and I can just about speak English, as many of you know, and so I started speaking this language, and it was just coming out as if like I was fluent in French or Japanese, and it was just coming out, but it wasn't just coming out, but it felt amazing. Like it felt incredible, like this closeness to the Lord that I hadn't experienced before, so much so that I didn't want it to stop. So I'm just going to keep going either till the Lord returns or until this stops. So I think I was there for about an hour, and you know you're there long because they start turning the lights on and doing all the chairs around you, but I just didn't want it to stop. I thought, what if I never get this again? But I've carried on speaking or singing in tongues. But the experience was, I had an experience and it felt great. It felt like a really great experience, that closeness. And these guys in the Acts 2, something happened and I think it would have felt great. But as we know, for Christians for us who've walked with Jesus for a while and desire more of the Holy Spirit, when we ask for more of the Holy Spirit, we're not just asking for goosebumps, are we? We're not just asking for like a feeling to just kind of make me feel a bit warm for 5 minutes, although that's great. This wasn't just a feeling, this wasn't just an outward reaction, this affected their very hearts. This affected their very souls, their minds. Something outward happened, but something inward was happening to these people as this was going on. Something happened to their very souls. And this is where we have then what we call the six devotions, and it comes out of what happened in Acts 2. And these are some of the things that we've been talking about. And if you don't know about this, or if you want a refresher, then there's some of these outside, and it explains a bit more. Or ask me, there's some in the cafe or the foyer. But the people who heard Peter back in, again, in Acts 2, 3,000 of them, 3,000 of them repented, trusted Jesus, and were baptized. So this incredible thing happened. And then the early church didn't just have that moment, like that, oh, it was just a really good day, really good experience. Again, 3,000 people did this, an outward expression, they would have felt something. But internally then, they showed incredible love, generosity, and devotion. So there was an internal change in these people's lives. And something they kept, something that, again, it wasn't as if like these 3,000 people then started a new religion. Something they kept doing, though they were doing before that moment, was they kept going to the temple. They kept going to the temple courts. It says this, it says, Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, it says this, isn't it? They were cut to the heart. Something happened internally to them. They heard the tongues. They saw these people, there's something outwardly, but they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Okay, we've heard this, something's happened to my heart, then what do I need to do physically? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. So that internal and external, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So this isn't just like John's baptism, or this isn't just a washing. This is you being baptized now in Jesus Christ, who a few weeks ago was killed, but we believe is now alive, and this is happening because of that. And you will receive then the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you believe, you repent, and you receive. That's what happened for you. You believe that Jesus is the Lord. You repent, acknowledge of your sin, and you receive then the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise for you and your children. So this is not just this one moment right now. This is for you, your children, and the generations to come, and those who are far off, for all who the Lord will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to this day. And then these are the verses that were kind of precious to us as a leadership team and precious to us, many of us in the church who we've been journeying on this. And it says, and they devoted themselves, that word devoted, they devoted themselves then, so that happened, that was the day, that was Pentecost, but then this is now talking about after that. They then devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And verse 46 we're looking at today. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. I'll come back to that. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this went into their houses. This went into like their families. You come and have food with me. You don't have money. You don't have a house. right, then I'll give this. Like, let's do something together. Let's help each other out. This, so they affected their family and their workspace and their homes, but they continued to meet then in the temple courts. They would have mainly met on a Saturday, which was the Sabbath and still is the Sabbath to the Jewish people, the day of rest which God has created for humans, for us. He didn't need it, but he created it for us. And so on that day then they rested, but then they also met with God and met with his people. So they would have kept on doing that, but that wasn't just for a Saturday, but they would have gone to the temple courts and they would have heard people teaching and preaching. And then if you look at the New Testament, then when the gospel started being spread, they often went to the synagogues in the daytimes and they would read from the scriptures and they would explain about Jesus. So they continue to do this. It's not as if, oh, Jesus has come, right, and let's have nothing to do with any of this. Let's just kind of meet completely separately. Let's change the day on purpose and let's call ourselves a different name. The only reason they started meeting on a Sunday was we meet on a Sunday, and now 2,000 years is because that's the resurrection day and we continue to meet. But this wasn't just meant to be a one-a-day thing, like an hour thing a week. Like this affected their lives. And I said this before, but Acts 2 is not a blueprint for every church to do exactly the same then for the eternity of time. The Bible doesn't stop in Acts 2. It's not as if, like, we got Acts 2, there we go, just copy this, and it'll be fine. There's lots of other letters to lots of other churches, and many have tried to do Acts 2 today or throughout the centuries, but sadly, it either ends up looking like or becoming a cult. Sadly, that's kind of what's happened over the years. If we all did that right now, and you told your family member who's not a Christian, actually, yeah, we're selling our house, and we're going to move in with these other three people, and yeah, we're all going to kind of share one bank account. They'd be like, crazy. Like, these guys, they've lost their mind. They've lost their minds. They've joined a cult. This is, and sadly, many times this has happened. But so this isn't a blueprint. Acts 2 is an exact blueprint, right? Every church now has to do this forever. But there are some devotions that we believe are biblical and can continue today. Principles, devotions, that this is really helpful of what it looks like to be his church and to please God. But this was 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, in a different country, in a different culture and a climate. And so what about today? But a big thing for me with the early church and the fact that Jesus lived for around 33 years on this earth, and he spent 3 years with his disciples, and even, I share this with someone, it's not just 3 years, even when he got resurrected, he still needed 40 days to go over. It's almost like, right, guys, I've been over with this before, okay, but I need to do this again. He had another 40 days with these guys. But what does that tell us? It tells us that the Lord Jesus and his followers, they spent a lot of time together, didn't they? Like, they spent loads of time together. And this is a weird kind of thing to say, but if you haven't been frustrated or argued with anyone in this church or been ticked off by someone, you're probably not spending enough time with each other. Like, we probably don't know each other that well. Like these guys spent time with each other every day. And so I love my wife more than ever. She loves me. I have four boys. But I can honestly say we're quite a loud family. And there's a reason maybe why no one's moved into our house next door for the last 18 months. Because even though we love each other and we kind of want to look after one another and please each other, right, there's friction, isn't there? And there's kind of arguments and we kind of upset and hurt one another and make up. And so that is what, if we're going to be authentic and you're going to spend time with people, that's what's going to happen. And that is exactly what happened with Jesus, with these guys in the Gospels and Acts. And even as one of the devotions, going back to the devotion slide here, like I said, let me just read what we wrote. It says about devoted to Sundays. And it says, Sunday morning, so this is about our church devotions, devoted body members. Sunday morning is currently the only time and the only place where the whole body of Thornhill Church joins together. As elders, we will devote ourselves to being here on Sundays to serve others. Sundays are also a time when we can all serve one another with our God-given abilities, the spiritual gifts he has given people, and by simply loving one another as the body part of his church. On Sundays, we will have Bible teaching, fellowship, corporate worship, prayer, communion, baptisms, dedications, etc. Gathering as a church should be the highest priority of our week as people of God, to gather to worship, surrender, and love Jesus. We encourage people to let their groups know if they are away or ill on a Sunday for pastoral care and accountability. So that's our heart. That's why we feel Sundays are important. That's why we feel a weekly gathering in the temple courts still is massively important. But also, Sundays is starters. Like if you're going for a three-course meal and you just have the starter, you're like, oh yeah, that was nice, that was good. But you want more, don't you? Because you know there's more to come. You know there's plenty more. And Sundays is starters. Like, it's great that we're all here today, but anyone can come on a Sunday. Coming here, as we know, doesn't make you a Christian. I went to church for 18 years. In every church in the UK today, there will be many people who aren't saved, who don't know Jesus, and I was one of them. And so anyone can come on a Sunday. You could come for the first time, or the 100th time, or you could be a Christian who's been walking with Jesus for 70 years, but anyone can come on a Sunday. Sundays is starters, and so it's great, but it is starters. And as one of the leaders of Thornhill Church, along with Stu, Alan, and Jacob, our heart as leaders is to serve you guys and to create a culture in our church and to be a church that God loves. We want to be a church that God loves. Amen? And you might think, well, Matt, God loves us all anyway, no matter what. So that's already there. But we know from the book of Revelation, and I don't know if Alan's going to talk on this. We know from the book of Revelation there's seven letters to seven different churches who almost like get a personal message or email or note from there. And there's some good bits in there. But if you read it, there's some not good bits as well, isn't there? And so just because we've got the word church on the outside doesn't necessarily mean God is pleased. Doesn't necessarily mean the Lord is dwelling here, or he's happy with everything that goes on. I'm very aware as a pastor, that just because I'm a pastor, just because we have a church building or we're called a church, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're God's favorite, that he loves us, that we don't do anything wrong. We want to be a people and a church that God loves, that we seek after him, that he wants to dwell with. Because in the Bible as well, it talks about if we don't do that, he'll take away our lampstand. Like he'll take away our light. Like he can do that. And he'll still be God, he'll still carry on. But we want to be a people that love him and honor him and look to fulfill the things he's called us to. So these devotions are our heart for everyone to sign up to these things, not on a piece of paper, but with their hearts and their commitment, and for them to fully devote to them as best as they possibly can. And sometimes health or different reasons or financial reasons affect how we do that, and that's when we're called to love one another and reach out to each other. But it's our heart for us to fully devote to one another, to fully devote to Jesus and to one another as his church. And this is in response to Jesus giving us everything, isn't it? Even as we've been singing these songs and taking communion, isn't it just a fresh reminder of, like Jesus has done everything for us, hasn't he? He's paid the price. He's gone to the cross. Like none of us are worthy here. None of us are able to get into God's good books, and so Jesus has done it for us. So we gather in response to that. And if you have His Spirit, He's bought you. He's bought you with a price. Not to own you as a slave, but He's bought you with His blood because He loves you. And not just to forgive you and just to say, all right then, you crack on now and I'll see you when you get up here. No, He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you His heart, hands and feet to be His body with others, to connect with others and to be His body, His hands and feet. And so this is the early church that we've read from. So this is the early church in Acts 2. This is the culture that the Spirit created. This is how they reacted. And so what I'm going to do now, I'm going to react negatively to this, to our culture today, okay? So what I'm going to say is not like, oh, this is my bugbear of everything in my life or Thornhill Church. Not at all, okay? Because we do some things, I think, that really please the Lord. But this is almost like the danger, then, of what our culture can look like in 2026. And so I want to put some things out here for maybe for us to convict our hearts. Is that okay? And say, Lord, search me. And to help us do that, I want you to imagine you're in heaven, okay? So imagine you're in glory, and you meet someone called... is it a Clivia? There's not a Clivia. I don't think Clive is a classic Jewish name, but we'll go with Clive. You meet someone called Clive who was in this church in Acts 2, okay? So you meet Clive, and he was in this Acts 2 church. And you start talking to him, and he's like, oh, great to be with you. Sorry, I'm making this up. So what century did you live? Like, when were you around? Oh, yeah, I was in 2026. Oh, great. Well, what about you, Clive? Oh, yeah, actually, I was in, just after Jesus. I think you might have read about the church I was in Acts 2. Okay, yeah, I've read about that one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, what about you? Oh, yeah, Thornhill Church, you know, Cardiff. Like, really good-looking pastor. Never heard that one. Oh, and then he's like, well, you know about my church in Acts 2. Like, tell me about your church, or tell me what the culture of Christianity was like back then. Like, you tell me what that was like, because we know what that looked like, don't we? And so what did yours look like? So I'm just going to give us some pointers, okay? And let me just kind of pray before I quickly do it, because I'm not having a go at anyone here. I'm just kind of want us to reveal our culture and our heart. So Lord, we know we're broken. We know we're sinful. We know these things, and we thank you so much, Jesus, that you've paid the price for us. Thank you that our sins are forgiven because of you. Thank you that you make us right. But Lord, we want to be a people, individually and a collective, who please you, who love you, who honor you, who are a body parts, a part of your church that honor you. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, if there's things in our own individual lives, things in our culture, things about us as a people group right now that does not please you, we ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you convict us, and not just convict us, but, Lord, help us change. Help us repent. Help us walk in your ways to be a people that please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here we go, okay? And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So that's what they did. This is Clive's church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In 2026, what happened? Well, ideally a 20-minute sermon. Okay? So if it's a bit longer than that, then I might switch off. And also to fellowship, like they lived with each other, they did all these things, like they spent time with each other. Well, I do have a cup of tea after the service, like 15-20 minutes, like that's kind of that's my fellowship, that's what I call my fellowship. And to the breaking of bread, which they did in the homes. Well, if I make that Sunday, then great, but if I don't, then I've got other things on. And to pray, these people prayed, the Holy Spirit came and met with them, and they continued to pray. Well, I do pray with an emoji, but I'm a bit too tired to come up. Like, I'm pretty busy, like, I got a lot going on, so I'll put an emoji on, but I want to watch Netflix. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Well, that was great, but I'm not quite sure about that. Or I prayed for these things before and it hasn't really worked out, so I'd rather maybe stop praying for them or stop believing. Maybe it's less painful, or I just don't think that carries on today. And all the believers were together. It went from like 3,000, so that was a big church, wasn't it? And they spread, but they were all together. Yeah, for 1 hour a week. Maybe two, if the service goes on. But yeah, that's where I can kind of fit in. And they had everything in common. I don't know what that looks like, but for us maybe that looks like the bad weather. Like, that's maybe what we can talk about. Maybe, like, that's kind of our common ground, maybe, or our buffer zone of what we talk about. And they sold property and possessions. That's crazy, isn't it? Like, that's their culture, guys. They sold property and possessions. And what do? We work loads of hours to get on the market. We work really hard. Unless we've got on the market, we're not really adults, are we? Like, that's what our culture says. Let's work really hard. I got to neglect this for a bit because I need to work really hard to get on the market and fill my house with loads of stuff. And they gave to everyone who had need. So they sold everything, sold all the house, their possessions, and then gave to anyone who had need. Well, I'm pretty good at that if I get something new. If I get something new and I need to get rid of this, and I don't want to go down the skip, I'll give it to you. But would I give you my brand new thing that I just bought? No, I'll keep that. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. So even as a big gathering, they continued to meet together. And they say every day. I mean every Sunday, not every day, okay? So let's just get, for us, 2026, Clive, that was yours. We just meet once on a Sunday. And they broke bread in their homes, like this was in their houses, open up their homes. Well, if a home group suits me, then okay, but actually, I'm definitely not in my house. Like, I don't want any Christians in my house. I'll come to yours, but I don't want actually people to come into my house. And ate together with a glad and sincere heart. Like, when we eat, we are glad, aren't we? But maybe at the monthly meal in the church building. So I'll eat here with you guys once a month, but will I invite you over to my house and cook you a meal? Oh, maybe that's a bit too much effort. I'm praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And we love worship in the building, and maybe our culture is, well, when we're outside, let's just be nice. So, like, let's make a noise now, but maybe let's just be nice out there. And in Clive Church, when they did all that, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that's what happened in Clive Church, and the Lord added to that. And so the highlighted church, what happens? Question mark. Like, when we live in that, like, what's going to happen? And I don't know about you, but as I was doing that, and again, that's my heart as well. That's not, I'm talking about a general now things, UK churches. But some of those things are dangerous, aren't they? Some of those things we can see, like, yeah, actually, I've got caught up in that. Oh, yeah, that's part of my life now. That's become part of my culture. And this isn't a works-based thing. This isn't like, all right, then let's do all these other things so then we become really good and we get into God's good books by ourselves And like I said, the Acts 2 is not a blueprint for the early church for everything. But if we are affecting our culture, if the culture is affecting us so much so to like kind of, we don't even look like that, then that should move our hearts, shouldn't it? Like that should do something in our hearts. Like imagine like having a conversation with Clive, and then Clive was, and you said about the highlight, didn't he? He's like, "All right, mate. Well, I'll see you around, okay? I'm just gonna go and hang around with the Acts 2 guys." But like that really convicted me of when I was looking at that, and that's all of that. But even the Sunday gathering, and I was brought up born in 86 in the Valleys, and so brought up in church in the late 80s and 90s, and part of the culture then, coming from the Welsh revival in the early 19th century, it still had an effect when I was being brought up, to the point where nothing was open on a Sunday, everything was closed on a Sunday, and I don't know why, someone can tell me after, in my stig, everything was closed half day on a Wednesday. If you got the answer for that, can you tell me after, okay? But you had that, and then on a Sunday, everything was closed, wasn't it? And everything was closed, and like it was almost like this: the church has affected things so much that this is like a day of rest. Like this is a day of rest, and for you to spend time with God, for you to spend time with your church family, for you to spend time with each other, and rest, and recover. And this is God's idea. And that's the culture like we were in, being brought up. Now that's completely gone, isn't it? Like that's completely gone. Sunday is just another day for the weekend. Everything's 24/7. And we think, oh, brilliant, we can get everything now. Like the stress levels now are more than ever. People are less rested. People have less control. People are more out of work and all these things. And so like we're in this culture now. And so we need to, the danger of the culture when I was brought up was, all right, and because everything's closed on a Sunday, unless you go to the evening service and wear a suit, you're not really a Christian. Like which is completely wrong, isn't it? But that was the danger of that then. Like that's the danger of that. But today, with our culture being like this, we just need to be aware, haven't we? We need to just test our hearts. Lord, are we pleasing you? Show us. We want to be a people that honor you. And like I said, Jesus has paid the price for us. And this is what he's called us to, okay? In 1 Peter, he says, this is Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. And that's also in the devoted. But let me just finish with 1 Peter 2. And it says this: therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I have laid a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Isn't that God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The band are going to come up now and lead us in one final song. But Lord, we just, we offer ourselves up to you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to come to us and want to meet with us and dwell with us. And we just open our hearts to you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us, Lord, if we've allowed our culture to affect us so much in areas that don't please you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, to refresh us again, to see us what pleases you, what displeases you. Help us individually in our workplace, in our family life, but also as a church gathering, as a church body. But also, Lord, help us just be more intentional about giving time to one another, about being present with one another, about arguing and forgiving each other well, about working through differences, about sharing Jesus with others together and lifting up your name together. And we pray, Lord, as we gather, as a weekly gathering, all together, we pray, Lord, that you will be pleased. We pray, Jesus, that your name will be honored. We pray, that you will dwell with us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will follow you in your ways, that you will want to add to us. Please, Lord, may we, our heart is that your kingdom will come, your will be to be done, and for people to know you. So, Lord, help us. Lord, if there's anything that you don't want to add to, Lord, we pray you reveal it to our hearts. We want to be a people that please you, so you add to it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.